From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Sea levels along the eastern shore are rising twice as rapidly as the global average. A new documentary highlights Smithville, a small community founded by freed slaves whose historic church and cemetery are threatened by the encroaching marsh. Rona Cobell of Maryland Sea Grant describes the causes and consequences of rising waters and the struggle to take action.
Smithville has to compete within its county and within Maryland for resources, so it is rather difficult to get money. We tend to give money to communities after a disaster like Sandy, and we tend to not help when there's kind of a slow drip of an environmental issue.
And filmmakers Wyman Jones Jr. and Jaleesa Mayo share their perspectives on environmental justice on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Rising sea levels threaten communities along the Chesapeake Bay. From flooding to storm surges, higher waters imperil people, homes, and the coastal landscape. A report published late last year by the University of Maryland's Center for Environmental Science found that in 100 years, if greenhouse gas emissions continue to grow, regular high tides would cause daily flooding in Baltimore. Rona Cobell is a science writer and editor at Maryland Sea Grant, a research, education, and outreach organization supported by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, and the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Maryland Sea Grant recently released a documentary titled Smithville. It explores how a small Eastern Shore community is affected by encroaching marshland. Later in the program, we'll speak with two filmmakers who worked on the project. Rona, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Research by the Environmental Protection Agency and NOAA estimates that global sea level has risen by about 8 inches since 1880, but the rate of sea level rise is increasing. Now it's a little more than an inch per decade. What factors are driving up the rise of sea levels?
Well, there's several factors. One is the rising greenhouse gases from the fossil fuels. They're going into the atmosphere, and that's causing the oceans to warm. And when water warms, it expands sort of like an ice cube melting, and that water goes into where we now have land. Ocean currents also are affected by this warming trend. And then we also have a third issue called subsidence, where the land is actually sinking. The sea level rise rates for the whole world are fairly alarming, but they're even more alarming here. Our sea level rise in Maryland is rising at about twice the national average.
Twice?
And on the eastern shore, it's even more apparent because of the subsidence rates of the land. And so you've got a lot of low-lying communities that flood constantly. So instead of a flooding event, we all remember in Baltimore when Isabel came and Fells Point, you could canoe down the streets. Well, that's a sort of once in every few years event. This I'm talking about, you know, daily and weekly tides coming into yards and low-level flooding and cemeteries being endangered. And that it's becoming a constant way of life.
I don't think I really get subsidence. What's going on with subsidence?
It's a naturally occurring phenomenon that's been going on for thousands of years, and it has to do with kind of how the land kind of shifts, and then you have the water expanding, and the land sort of can't absorb the water. This is a problem in certain places, depending on how your soils and your lands are. So it's a problem here. It's not as much of a problem in New England. And what compounds the problem, Sheila, is you have groundwater withdrawals in places like Norfolk. They take a lot of water out of the ground for industrial activities, for naval activities. Oil fracking is an issue in Texas. So they take this water out of the ground, and you've already got a low water table and sandy soils. And so your land is subsiding, and you're continuing to take water out, and it's causing more sinking.
What are some other communities in Maryland that have been affected by sea level rise?
So on the Eastern Shore, the peninsula near the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge, you've got Wingate, which is a lovely town near Bishop's Head, Todville, Crocheron. These are all really small fishing communities, and they've all been dealing with intermittent flooding and lots of inundation. Deal Island Peninsula is another one where the roads flood frequently. You have a lot of ditches on the Eastern Shore because the whole shore has been ditched so it could be farmed. And the ditches, if they're not maintained, the water kind of backs up and then it stands in the road. So I've been on the shore where it hasn't rained in days and you're driving down a road and all of a sudden, like, you just can't get past it. There's just so much water. Bigger places that are dealing with flooding are Annapolis. The city dock area frequently is flooding now. Places in Baltimore, Fells Point. And while some of these communities on the shore are not really visible to the average person, like Wingate and Bishop's Head are pretty small communities, Fells Point is accessible to many of us and a place that we go a lot. And, you know, I think in Norfolk, residents are getting used to having to consult different apps on their phone to figure out on what side of the street they can park, depending on where the tides and the moon are. And Baltimore may at some point get to that level as well, where we need to be checking these things because we've got water coming in.
We'll need to find out, is this street going to be flooded at 3 o'clock this afternoon when I need
exactly.
to go down?
Exactly. And that is how that's become a way of life in Norfolk.
That's science writer Rona Cobell of Maryland Sea Grant here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the causes and consequences of rising sea levels. What are the repercussions of sea level rise?
They're different depending on where you live, but I mean, you're losing communities. You have to make a decision. Do we rebuild? There's a place in Alabama called Dothan Island. It's been rebuilt maybe 15 times. Federal flood insurance that you and I pay is paying to rebuild it. Some communities haven't been rebuilt, so you lose them. And when you lose a community, you lose the cultural touchstones, you lose the family history, you may be losing cemeteries, churches. We've a lot of colonial history here in Maryland, so a lot of those sites are endangered. Environmentally, it's not good either because, you know, you've got standing water in places. It festers mosquitoes. All kinds of health problems can stem from that. It's a huge, huge problem that has all kinds of ramifications. Those are just a few of them.
What are some common tactics to mitigate rising waters?
You can either retreat from the coast. You can abandon the place you live, which is mostly an option people don't want to do, or you can try to fortify your property. So you've probably seen on the Eastern Shore a lot of kind of berms and we call it riprap. It's like rocks.
What is a berm?
A berm is kind of something you put around your property to keep the water out. But then you don't want to have standing water like on the outside of how you structure it. So riprap is something you put on your shoreline to keep your shoreline from eroding. But on the flip side of that, when you harden a shoreline, the water just goes somewhere else. There are a lot of different tactics that you can use to protect your property and to make sure water doesn't come into your home. But what other scientists, including Ming Li at University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, he's an oceanographer. One thing that he's sort of finding is that it's better to identify low-lying spots and allow them to take on the water rather than fortify every single place. So in other words, make choices. And it results in difficult decisions because there's only so many resources. And how do you decide what gets protected and what doesn't?
Yeah, that's a big debate. Maryland Sea Grant publishes the magazine Chesapeake Quarterly. What's in the next issue?
I'm really proud of our next issue. We have a story on Smithville that is complementary to the film we're doing. We have some stories on marshes. We have a Sentinel Site coordinator and collaborative effort at Sea Grant where we're helping measure marshes and coordinate this information about the level of marshes that we have and what's going on with them ecologically and what is their forecast. And I also have a story about the anthropologist at the University of Maryland that got me started on the Smithville Project and their efforts to bring people together to kind of learn from each other so we can, instead of having this divisive climate change is real, climate change is not, you know, news is fake, news is not, instead we have a dialogue where scientists, government officials, managers for the state planning, state highway ministers, everybody's coming together and learning and figuring out what do we do with this information? How do we fortify our communities? How do we become more resilient? What is worth keeping? What do we have to let go of?
Rona Cobell, science writer, editor, and now filmmaker at Marilyn C. Grant, is going to stick with us on the record as we take a short break. And then we'll meet two Morgan State University students, or a graduate and a student, who helped create the new documentary about sea level rise and Maryland's Smithville community. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass.
When I was younger, there were a lot more families that actually lived there. There were a number of children my age and older, and there were a lot of things to do, always something going on.
That's the voice of Keith Cornish, a native of Smithville, a small community on Maryland's eastern shore near the Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge. A new documentary named for the community explores how sea level rise and the encroaching marshland threaten new revived United Methodist Church and its cemetery. The church is one of four historically black churches in Dorchester County founded after the Civil War. I'm speaking with Rona Cobell, science writer and editor for Marilyn C. Grant, and we're joined by the director of the Smithville documentary, a senior at Morgan State University, Wyman Jones, Jr. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Also, production assistant and recent Morgan State graduate, Jaleesa Mayo. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Rona, tell us about the community of Smithville.
Smithville was quite a vibrant community after the Civil War when it was founded. Harriet Tubman's brother married a woman from Smithville. It was founded by free African Americans, and it thrived for decades. It started to decline probably 30, 40 years ago. The reason was because of the factories in the area would start to close. There were canneries. There's a big seafood packing business and farms that grew tomatoes, strawberries. They started to go out of business, decline as agribusiness kind of went to the Midwest. And over time, people started to move out of Smithville. On a parallel track, there is a marsh right next to Smithville, and the water began to come much closer to the church and the cemetery. And so on the one hand, you have economic factors, and on the other hand, you have environmental factors, both sort of collaborating to take a once proud and quite prosperous and happy community and take it from about 100 people to today when there are just four.
What does the church and the cemetery mean to the community, both the few still living there and all the folks who feel connected to that community?
I think it means everything. This is their past. This is their families. These were among the first freed African Americans in Maryland to sort of make a life, make a home, make a community. And they chose this place to be their home. And many of the people who are from Smithville carry the names that are in the cemetery, names like Cornish and Wilson. Those are still the names of some of the people we know and met. Wheatley is another one. And so this is very much about their home and their identity. And it's a very proud identity, as it should be. To lose that would really be heartbreaking. Regarding the church is quite a beautiful church, and I've been to a lot of churches on the Eastern Shore, probably more than I've been to synagogue, and this church is in quite good shape. A lot of churches are deteriorating because there just isn't enough people to maintain them, but three congregations merged and are at New Revived, which was a building that dates to 1925. The original church burned down, and this was the new church they built. So it's almost 100 years old. It's a beautiful building. It's in pretty good shape, and there is a real danger that we've got the marsh coming, but also kind of this subsidence issue that we talked about before, and the really shallow groundwater. There could be an issue with this church if something isn't done to raise it or protect it.
Wyman, what type of experience did you have working on documentary films before creating Smithville?
One of the recent documentaries I did was with a professor at Morgan State University. His name is Tim Reed. Some of y'all may know him as the father from Sister, Sister. But he's also a professor. He's an actor. He's a filmmaker. He gave me the opportunity to work with him as well as some of my fellow classmates on a documentary called 60 Beds, which essentially was about a new juvenile detention center in Baltimore City that was in development. The detention center that housed 60 beds, it cost over $30 million. Being able to do that documentary taught me how to storyboard, taught me how to plan my shots, taught me a lot of important things, not just as a filmmaker, but as about myself.
Jaleesa, what was your film experience?
I actually had the same experience of working with Tim Reed. He asked me to be a director for a documentary we created as Murder and the Butterfly Effect. It's currently on YouTube, and it details the impact of family members losing their friends, their children. We also speak with a inmate who was in prison who shot someone, and he details how the murder makes him have remorse for his act. We also speak with people who are helping the community decrease the amount of gun violence that's happening in Baltimore.
Rona, why did you decide to make New Revived United Methodist Church the core of a film?
Recently, after I was hired at Sea Grant, I was asked to join the anthropologists at University of Maryland who were working on this kind of dialogue, collaborative learning project with several communities on the shore, including New Revived. And I went there, and I immediately thought, this is its own story. This is not so much a story about collaborative learning and talking, but this is a story about a particular church in a particular place that is really in danger of losing what's whole to it and what makes it special. So I started thinking, well, how could we tell this story in a film, and how would that look, and how long would it take? And I fortunately was able to find Wyman and Jaleesa, and they kind of helped me take it from there.
Well, and that's what I want to understand. Given your experience in filmmaking, how did this project strike you when you first heard about it? Did it seem like something completely different, or did it seem like a justice question you'd already started addressing?
When I received the email with the overview of the project, it seemed a lot more science-based, and it is, but I honestly do feel once I got out to the shore and I saw the church, and I went to Dorchester County, and I would ride through the shore with everyone, the film felt more personal than it did science, because just with our first interview with Lufter, I could feel how much this really was affecting him. It kind of felt deeper than just data and research.
I feel the same way. Coming from a small community myself, I felt how personal. I felt like this was my own family. It reminded me of my own church, of where I'm from. So I enjoyed the project.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Jaleesa Mayo, production assistant on the film Smithville, which shows how the Eastern Shore community's church and cemetery are threatened by rising sea level. Also with us are director Wyman Jones, Jr., and Rona Cobell, science writer and editor for Maryland Sea Grant. Dr. Sacoby Wilson, an environmental health scientist, shared his thoughts in the film about the threat to new revived United Methodist Church.
That may be a new factory being built, a new highway being built, and the cultural loss occurs because cemeteries and churches get targeted. But those cemeteries are part of the legacy of, you know, their struggle to be recognized as Americans, as freed people. So when you think about environmental justice movement, it's just not about fighting against hazards. It's about protecting culture.
Wyman, what does environmental justice mean to you?
Exactly what he said, protecting culture. When I sat down and listened to his interview, it touched me a lot of what he said, specifically in that part, because I realized that this was an unincorporated community. And if you're an unincorporated community versus an incorporated community, one of the biggest things that you are lacking is funding. So you don't have funding for hazards or major problems that are occurring within your community. You will be struggling a lot more versus an incorporated community. So once I realized that this community, Smithfield, was fighting hard to protect what they have, preserve, and if not just that, also flourish and keep it growing like it has for over 100 years, that's pretty much what it meant to me.
Jalissa, what does environmental justice mean to you?
Environmental justice means a community preserved for all. For all areas, whether it's the Eastern Shore, whether it's Baltimore, anywhere in the United States, making sure all environments are clean, have safe water, just safety is the key.
So what do you think you learned working on this project?
Oh, wow. we learned a lot. We learned so much about sea level. Although I was familiar with the environmental terms and everything through high school, it was a matter of going back home to my roots of environment and learning how I can do more at home to help with the community I live in.
Well, I mean, what would you say the biggest lessons you learned are?
I spent a lot of long nights editing the film. And then maybe an hour later, I could send a text message to Jay saying, hey, buddy, let's change this, and this for X, Y, and Z, and 0 to 100 reasons why. And at first, I would, honestly, I'd almost be upset or angry, like, I thought this was perfect. And then when I see those changes and the time and effort and extra hard work I was put in with it, I realized why, because we wanted this to be perfect. So it definitely taught me that there's no shortcuts in filmmaking.
Rona, the director of emergency services for Dorchester County, spoke in the film about the lack of local funds for mitigation projects. What options does the Smithfield community have going forward?
Well, I am hoping, and I think that our film will perhaps increase the options because it's been seen a lot and getting some visibility. I don't think a lot of people who lived even right near Smithfield knew about Smithfield, and now they will. And so Smithfield has to compete with multiple other towns within its county and within Maryland for resources. So it is rather difficult to get money. We tend to give money to communities after a disaster like Sandy, and we tend to not help when there's kind of a slow drip of an environmental issue. But through the University of Maryland Anthropology Department, we are bringing together a lot of different people who are maybe helping with the solutions. Living Shoreline was put on Deal Island, which was a solution there as a result of the project. And they're talking about a Living Shoreline for Smithfield, perhaps raising the church, you know, lifting it up 3 or 4 feet. What I was hoping would happen is that Smithfield had a say in its future, whatever that future is, that their issues were out there, that people understood that this is a place that is trying to fight for its survival. And it should be when conversations come up about funding and help, and that it should be part of the conversation too. And it's difficult because there are 6 fire stations in Dorchester County that need assistance because of flooding. There are multiple other churches and cultural assets that are competing. So I felt it was really important that people saw that they were there too. And they had been trying for many decades to get some help, and they hadn't really gotten any. And I wanted people to know that it was something that had a history and a culture, and it was worth preserving also.
Well, thanks for sharing this story with us. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Rona Cobell is a science writer and editor for Maryland Sea Grant. Wyman Jones Jr. directed the documentary Smithville. Jaleesa Maya was production assistant on the film. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have a link to the full documentary. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.